Welcome back to another episode of NFT Catcher Podcast. We'd like to remind everybody that nothing on the show is meant as financial advice, and to please do your own research. Thank you, and enjoy the show.
Now the subject is NFTs.
They're known as non-fungible tokens, or NFTs.
NFTs are exploding in popularity.
This is a technology that will forever change the way people interact.
So it is happening whether you understand it and like it or not.
This phenomenon is moving the digital.
You have now joined Jenny from the blockchain and Michael Keen on the NFT Catcher Podcast.
What's up, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the NFT Catcher Podcast with me, Jenny from the blockchain, and my co-host, Michael Keen. Today, we are recapping the events of what happened in the NFT space this week with special guest, Alan Carroll. Alan, welcome to the show. I feel like you're the first Sappy Seal PFP Twitter person that we've had on.
Wow, yeah, thank you guys, you know, so much for having me. First of all, I heard Gary's voice in your intro. That's pretty hilarious.
Yeah, oh, you caught that. Very nice.
I was like, oh, that, I love that so much. But yeah, the Sappy Seals are awesome. You know, I have my one and only seal, but it's a great community to be a part of for sure. Mm-hmm.
And you work for Gary V, right?
Yeah, I work for V3. So, you know, that's a part of VaynerMedia. You know, it's a small company within them, but it's an absolute blast. There's like 50 or 60 of us right now. So,
wow, that doesn't sound too small. That sounds like a lot of people.
Yeah, you know, I guess it's like small enough where you know everybody's name. Like when I was at VaynerMedia before, like there was so many employees that it was impossible to know everybody, even though you try. So this is definitely a different vibe.
And you work online, or you have to like go into like an office and everything?
Yeah. So every so often, you know, I'll hop up on the train and, you know, hop up on Amtrak and, you know, go to Hudson Yards. But, you know, for now it's fully remote, and that's also very nice. I have no complaints.
Nice.
That's pretty nice.
Yeah. Remote is like the best thing that has happened from COVID and everything. Just like all of a sudden, all these jobs are like, oh, people can just work remotely. And it's great. I love working remote. But yeah, anyway, let's get into the topics here. Actually, before that, I am kind of curious how you got into NFTs, because I'm always kind of curious on, you know, people we have on the show, whether it's guests or interviews, like how they got into NFTs. Was it Gary V that introduced you, like, or how did you get into the space?
I definitely the art side of NFTs. Gary and his crew kind of introduced me to. I heard like them talking about Bored Apes and stuff like that. But I first got into NFTs through a thing called So Rare. I'm a massive soccer fan. Football. Mm-hmm. I know the world calls it football, and it should be called football.
Football.
Yeah, absolutely.
You gotta say with the accent.
You do. I don't know if I'm cool enough for that. You know, it's like, I don't know how to get the level, but yeah, I just love soccer so much. And that game has, you know, kind of blown up in the past few years. They partnered with the MLB and partnered with the NBA, and just really excited to see what they do. And it's just a lot of fun from a user perspective. So
nice.
We started seeing So Rare a couple months ago. At the end of every episode, we do a top 10 volume for the last week in NFTs. And all of a sudden, about 2 months ago, So Rare started being top three, top five, like really picked up recently. So I definitely want to get into that. It's good to have you on the show, man. I remember first time I came across your profile, somebody was like, best shit posters in Web3. And you were one of them. And I was like, who was this loser with 4,000 followers?
Oh, damn. Throwback.
And now you blew right by me. I was like, yeah.
Wow. So, who is this? Can we just quote that? Who is this loser with 4,000?
Yeah, I had 10,000.
I'm still a loser. Nothing's changed. I'm still a loser out here, man.
No, but I put on my notifications just to like see what you had going on. And it's been fun to follow you. And then I was like, oh, shit, he works in Painter 3. Like, so it's good to have you on the show, man. And the So Rare thing in your bio is what put it over the top, because I was like, you know, we keep seeing they did the deal with the NBA, like you said, so it's really important stuff.
I'm actually so glad you say that, because I've had that in my bio and as my banner for a couple months now, and nobody has said anything.
Yeah,
I'm like, guys, like, I like don't understand. Does nobody care about this? Like, this stuff is so cool. So I love that you guys are actually interested in that.
Yeah, man. When I see the volume like that, you know, and I like sports as well. I'm not as much into soccer, but I'm also very much into basketball. So I could definitely be into what they have coming.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But like Jennifer said 5 minutes ago, maybe we get into the topics.
Yeah. What has been happening this week, Michael?
Yeah. Well,
tell us the big news.
Well, I sold that Izu 101 I talked about last week. It was out there for about 7-8 days, sold for 4.2 ETH. It's nice to take a win in the bear market.
You would sell it for 420.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was trying to go for. It's the highest Izu sale that's happened. And when it happened, Voltura tweeted GM and somebody said, "Did that Izu sale wake you up?" And he was like, "Yep." So nice. I got that fame to claim right now. I'm the highest Izu sale. I was very happy.
Let's go. That's exciting. Yeah. What are you going to Are you keeping the ETH? Are you buying something with it? Like, what are you thinking about doing?
There's a lot of things I want to buy, but, you know, I keep being gun shy and just, you know, like it feels like, you know, there's a lot of things I want to get into, but it also feels like ETH just might be the best bet. So I kind of keep, you know, worked hard for the ETH. So I'm like a little gun shy. I want to buy
What do you want to buy? I was just going to say, things for once.
Cool. I'd like to hear it. I was looking at a lot of different things. I mean, I've been looking at the Chimpers for a while. I was actually thinking about a Ranga, which is actually lower than it's been right now. It's at 1.2. Those just seem really, really popular. I don't know if they're a flash in the pan or not. Sappy Seals is one that it's up. It's actually been up over the last week. A lot of stuff has been up over the last week. If you look at flips, the apes are up 12% and the mutants are up 18%. I guess that's with staking coming. And, you know, that's probably why that stuff is going up. The ape coin is up a good amount over the last couple of weeks.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. That's good. What else have I been looking? You know, Moonbird Odyssey seems like a decent deal. Like I was going to put some of it into something. There's a gold smiles out there for 3 ETH that I put an offer on in that I would really
a gold
like to
one.
Get.
I've never seen a gold one. Is that
there's super... only like there's only like 30 of them.
Oh, and okay.
None have sold this cheap, but there's been some. I didn't even put that in our notes for this week. That the kind of the behind the scenes stuff going on.
Oh my
smiles.
Gosh, should we talk about that?
Yeah, probably should. Are you a Smiles fan?
Alan, I don't know if you've
heard of... Do you know about Smiles, Wahid, that whole project?
I've heard of that project. I'm honestly not a big trader right now.
For sure. I'm not a big trader right at the moment either, but was for a long time. But you're like, yeah, so Smilesverse came out over a year ago. This amazing artist, Wahid, a young kid, came from Afghanistan to the U.S. by himself, put together this whole thing. And the project did really well. Like I have a whole bunch famous. We had him on the show, him and one of his guys. And I guess there's been a falling out and there was a lawsuit filed and the guy was spending money frivolously. Not Wahid, not the artist, but this is all alleged. You know, I don't know any of the details, but the floor went from like 2 ETH down to like 0.1 over the last few months.
Really?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yep. But I mean, it was really cool. We love the people. I actually reached out to Wahid this week and said what's up, and he wrote a nice message back.
Oh,
you know, yep.
That's nice. Yeah, I was trying to. I was like putting ETH offers out there, but nobody was taking my bait for smiles. You know, and I'm such a low baller too. So like, but you know, I was like, come on, somebody.
Somebody's. I mean, people are getting rid of them. It's a shame.
Yeah, but. I know. It's crazy. Like, I was like, what did I buy my last one for? I guess I bought it for like 0.8 and now it's like the floor is like 0.08. I'm like, oh my God, how ironic. But yeah, so I tried to buy Smiles this week, but I couldn't because nobody accepted my offers. But I did put offers on some other things. You know how I'm kind of like obsessed with the crypto crystals like from 2018? So I picked up one of those for literally 0.02. Like somebody accepted a really low ETH offer, and
that's gonna pay off one day. That's gonna pay off one day when somebody like tweets about it,
right? And I'm so crazy. Cheap, like, I only like to buy things for like super cheap amounts, like 0.0 and then a number that's like my buying price range. And then I bought like two more fungi, I put low ball offers and people accepted, and I don't know, I just nice. They're so cool looking. And they like redesigned their website. I don't know if you saw. But they literally like redesigned their website and everything. You can claim Spore now, which Conjuring is coming soon and everything. And so, yeah, I don't know. They got some stuff happening. And then what else did I get?
You're on a shopping spree.
I know. Right. Then I bid on you know, the Song of Day guy, we were talking about him, Jonathan Mann.
Mm-hmm.
So he came out with this song with his daughter, Unicorns Poop Rainbows. And so I bought that for like 0.02. I was the highest bidder. So, and then finally I bought a bunch of Lil Sleuths, which is this project that a couple of people in the Doodles community came out with, and Juicy Jew. I don't know if you know her. She's like the artist behind it. And then one of my coworkers, Vegan Beef, he actually, or Lucas, he actually like wrote the smart contract for it and everything. And I was like, oh my God, I have to support. So I minted like 10 of them, and they're like highly inappropriate because they're like Lil Sleuths.
Oh, you showed us.
Yeah, I showed you. I gifted them to a bunch of friends. Because I was like, oh, I don't know if I should have these in my wallet, but they're really funny. And so, yeah, they haven't minted out or anything, but it's just kind of a fun little project that was created.
Nice.
But anyway, nice. That's all the buying I did. Okay.
So that's a lot of buying. Done, that's a lot of buying for you. I know. And I haven't bought any. There's a lot of stuff I really want. I want to clone X. How about you, Alan? You have anything on your like wish list or?
You know, I'm really interested in getting more depth on my So Rare team, you know, because you can actually make money and get rewards. Yeah. And the players that I need on my team are expensive. So, you know, I got to save up. They're usually like at least an ETH or two to get somebody worthwhile. So, you know.
Oh, really? Let's talk about So Rare. That is actually next on the list. And you know, so has the prices have all gone up? Is that what all this volume is about? It's got, what's the game? Tell us how the game works. Like,
so if you,
what's going on there?
If you understand the sports, you're at a massive advantage because you can recruit the young talent before maybe a large team signs them, you know, and even like when it hits the NFL and stuff like that, like, you know, trying to, you know, if you're passionate about whatever sport it is, you have a massive advantage. And essentially you set a lineup. It's like fantasy football on steroids, you know, but the prizes are, you know, up to 50th place you get, or 40th place you get something. And it's not always worth money. You know, sometimes you get lucky and it is worth money, but if you finish like top 15, top 20, you're getting like a really solid prize. Mm-hmm. And the problem is though, in order to get those prizes that are worth a lot of money,
you have to buy your team.
Yeah, there are tournaments that you can enter, of course, that are you know, less competitive and you know, need a less expensive team. But of course, the prizes are less. Like I'm competing for one of the top. You know, I don't have like the rarest cards in the game, like the unique cards, the brown ones. Like there's only one of one every year. Each player gets one of those, and those leagues are just, you know, those are the big boy leagues for sure, but it's so much fun, man. You know, and I love soccer. So if you guys love sports, then it's definitely an interesting platform for sure.
Yeah. So they do, it's almost like, is it like daily fantasy type stuff or there's like season long leagues?
So yeah, they mimic or they go along with whatever the professional season of that sport is. So, you know, this one, it's like they even do international games. Like, you know, it was international break in the soccer world.
Really? Yep.
And they were, you know, if you own the players, you could set them in the games and, you know, they could collect points that way. They just really, you know, it's tough because like, you don't know who's going to start. But it's like a 5-day, it's like game weeks. And then each game week, you know,
okay. Whatever. Mm-hmm. So we can expect them to do something similar with the NBA, similar to kind of what Rainmakers is doing.
Yeah, in the NBA, so essentially a player will get 111 cards each season. 100 of those cards will be the red cards that you see. 10 of them will be the blue cards. And then one of them will be the unique card that I mentioned earlier, the brown card. And then I think there is like yellow cards now, which are like common cards, but those aren't worth very much money. So if you think about it, over the course of a player's career, if they play 10 years, there's only 1,000 or so cards being released, which is really super rare. I mean, you know, obviously so rare.
Yeah.
So it's an interesting, you know, outlook on rarity. Like, wow. Like if you get some of these rare cards, no wonder they're selling for so much ETH because they're an asset that could pay off for quite a lot.
Yeah. I see. I'm looking right now. Okay. So there's different seasons. So like, the cards for the previous seasons are not good anymore.
Work absolutely. Like,
okay, cool. Because Rainmakers, I think, is the opposite of that. I said that your cards work for your like you know, your players work for 1 year and then you don't use them.
Yeah, no, that's no good. That's why Erling Haaland, you know, he had a super rare card sell last year on So Rare for like, I don't know, 50,000 euros, 60,000 euros. It was like, wow. I mean, and to be fair, that is such a steal for what he's got, what he's worth now. You know, so it's a really incredible asset to have. I mean, this guy's going to be scoring a lot of points in So Rare over the next 10, 20 years.
What's his name?
Erling Haaland. He's okay, like,
I haven't heard of that guy.
He's like the number one striker in the world right now. He plays for Manchester.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Really?
Him and Mbappe are like neck and neck.
Nice. Yeah. I definitely want to, I'll probably start getting into it with basketball. I can't really play with soccer because I don't follow. Like, I, you know, I watch the World Cup and things like that and trying to get into it. I have some friends that are really into it. Are you like, what got you into, you know, football? Being you're an American, maybe you study abroad or something. A bunch of my friends that studied abroad from Penn State got really into it and still are.
I did study abroad, but just in high school, I tried out for the soccer team. I actually got cut too. But the coach and I were, you know, he like said, hey, like you really tried hard, so he let me be like a practice player. And I actually did get a couple minutes too on the varsity team, which was dope. Only like 10 in my entire career, but we'll take it. But yeah, I just loved it, man. I don't know what it was like going to practice every day. I was like, man, like this is sick. You know, I love soccer practice and stuff like that. And then just watching the games, and I'm a big Manchester United fan. And, you know, it's just the quality of passes and, you know, endurance that the players have and finishing is just on a different level than I could ever hope to reproduce. So I'm blown away.
Nice. I do a lot of fantasy. I actually won all three of my fantasy football games today.
Bro, it is that's a good tough feeling. Year, man. I'm happy for you, man. But it's been a tough year out here.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, I know. I'm happy for the winners. But, you know, when it doesn't go well for you in fantasy, I feel like when it rains, it pours, you know?
So, mm-hmm.
But, yeah.
That's good info on So Rare. And I'm excited for the basketball. I definitely want to check it out a little more. And, yeah, no, I'm. It's interesting, and I appreciate that. Jennifer, you've been keeping up with the Cryptoys. You know they're about to. I'm sure you have.
Yes. My sister, as you guys probably know, is head of community for Cryptoys, and they're getting ready to launch soon, and they're actually going to be doing closed beta testing soon. So, Michael was like, guys, make sure that you like to me and Andy and our group chat, like, make sure that you sign up for the thing, which I've already done. I definitely want to be in the closed beta. I don't know. We can probably get.
No, we should. We definitely should get someone on whenever they want to. But I got some info about it. If anybody's interested, about a year ago, Alan, I don't know if you know Cryptoys. There's a million projects out there. We have kind of, you know, some that we talk about that our community's into. But are you familiar with Cryptoys?
I'm not.
Okay. It's good. It's a good project. They're having a YouTube live Tuesday, 9 p.m. Eastern, which I'm excited to tune in. Is Steph hosting that?
Probably.
Cool. Yeah. I'm looking forward to that. They're only going to sell their like Cryptoid cubes. Cryptoids cubes are what's coming out. $39.99 each. There's a bunch of different rarity levels and cool things with it. So we should keep people updated. About a year ago, the Cryptoid Classics, all three of us, me, Andy, and Jennifer, have one. They airdropped. If you were in their Discord, like in the first week or whatever, do you know what it was? Was the first week or a couple weeks? And this was a year ago. And those are still holding their value, like 0.2, 0.22.
Yeah. So Cryptoids, they're built on Flow. And it's like this whole like literally they have like a 50 plus person team. And they're basically building kind of like these like smart like AI stuffed animal looking characters and stuff, and you'll be able to interact with them and everything. And it almost like I don't know, I always kind of think back to Webkinz. Like, I don't know, Alan, if you ever played Webkinz growing up, but freaking love Webkinz so much. And Cryptoids kind of reminds me of that. But just like playable collectibles, and so since they were kind of building and so far out, even they just decided to kind of reward some of the early people in their community with these polygon pixelated NFTs that were on Polygon. So, and yeah, that's what Michael was talking about. But I think some people in our community are also like, they found out about Cryptoids when we had Steph on the show, and we can get I'm sure we'll get some of the founders on closer to the launch date so they can talk mm-hmm. about it, which will be exciting.
I like that price point too. You know, like the 34.
Yeah, it's like 03, 035 or whatever it is. Yeah, $39.99.
It's just like that is how you onboard people in NFTs, like not like expensive yeah. Ethereum NFTs. You know, it's like
right. that, yes. that's
more the future. So I also yeah. got Flow. You mentioned Flow. I think Flow is awesome. Vayner had me do a little like mini research project, and I gave a little mini presentation to the team on them, and just the projects that have been on them, and the blockchain itself is definitely very interesting. So
Ticketmaster chose them for their yeah. NFT tickets.
Yeah. I mean, you know, isn't that what a Top Shot is on? I mean, like they have like yep. it's pretty cool. It's, you know, it was more than meets the eye. I'm not going to lie. I wasn't as informed, but it's definitely good to know.
Yeah, it was interesting because Dapper Labs, that's like, you know, the parent company of NBA Top Shot, like they built the Flow blockchain because they had launched CryptoKitties on Ethereum, and just the way that they were trying to do it was they wanted it to be accessible, a bunch of transactions happening. And we all know that all of a sudden gas fees just spike up when that happens. And so they wanted to build a blockchain where people could mint and transfer and do all these things without having to pay all these fees. So they built Flow, and literally the first, I guess, NFT project on Flow was NBA Top Shot, which they created as well. So yeah, but Flow is very exciting. I feel like a lot of people are building on Flow. I'm excited to see what comes out with Flow. And I feel like we're just kind of scratching the surface with Flow. I think we've seen a lot from Ethereum, you know, but I think we're just starting to scratch the surface and see what people can really build on Flow.
Absolutely.
What's one thing you found out about Flow that really surprised you when you did your deep dive?
I like that they had a disagreement with Vitalik, and instead of, you know, when some people face adversity, they kind of like be like, ah, you know, at least we tried. And they were like, nah, we're going to go build our own blockchain. You know, it's like, that's kind of like, well, you have some commitment in your vision. You know, if you're like, you believe in that much to go do that, because that's not like going to do some whatever. Like, that's like a massive task to try and execute. So that's what I was most impressed about for sure. And that's why I'm so bullish on them. So
nice. Let's talk about Vayner Threesome. Some people might say I'm a bit of a Gary V fan. You know, he's the one that introduced me to NFTs.
Number one fangirl.
Yeah, number one. He's the one that introduced me to NFTs. I have a FaceTime frog. Like literally, he introduced me to NFTs. We've had him two times on the pod for 5 minutes each. We interviewed him at VCon. In his private suite. And did you know Jennifer was a moderator on the main stage of VCon?
That's badass.
I mean, not trying to brag, but
yeah, they flew her in first class. Like, it was nice.
I know, it was pretty bougie. I was like, oh, shoot.
Nice hotel. Yeah.
Tiny purple carrots and everything, like for the Jennifer, meal.
I'm sure you can attest. I heard that the speakers were treated very well and that the event was, you know, abnormal and that everything was on time and it was like actually organized. That's actually.
Yes. Yeah. Oh my God. I literally was thinking that. Like, I couldn't stop thinking about how, like, well organized, because everybody knows throwing a big event, that's so hard. I've been to so many events, like a lot of entrepreneur events and everything, and it is not easy to stay on time and for things to be well organized, especially when they had, like, I forget how many, like, I think 5 different stages, like, you know, four side stages and a main stage. That is hard to do. And yeah, I was really impressed with that.
I will say one thing. It's really nice when you get to go in the VIP entrance like Jennifer did. And I had to wait for 2 hours in the rain on Thursday morning. That's besides the point. What's that?
You waited 2 hours in line?
Yeah. The first day we got there super early before the gates opened. And
everybody
there was
knows
a line.
You don't get there early. You get there.
There was
late.
A line around the stadium.
You should have got there late.
And then it started raining.
I am so glad that I went to Minnesota. I mean, that was like, you know, I'm so excited for next VCon as well, because it really was.
Where's it going to be at?
Look, I don't know.
Ooh, tell us.
This is what you got to tell us.
I don't know where it is. I have no alpha, but it wouldn't surprise me if it was in like Canada, because just when we were there, he said that there were so many Canadians that showed out. But what they did mention was that there's so many people that want to host it. So it's like, what is it going to be? It's going to be incredible because there's so much demand. Right. So it's like,
it's going to be subsidize us.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
Cool. So working at Vayner 3, I heard you say you originally worked at Vayner Media and then you moved over to Vayner 3, I guess. And so kind of what's it like? And then I want to ask, like, I know some of the companies that you're like, that you're consulting for, I guess, Budweiser and Johnny Walker, like, what's it look like? What do you guys plan for somebody like Budweiser? I know they're beer.eth and they're doing their thing. And like, what's come, what's the thought process? How's that all shaped? Yeah, well, I know I asked a few things there. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, it's all right. You know, first, like, Vayner 3 is awesome. I'm blessed to be there. The team is incredible. You know, I'm far from the smartest person in the room. So I'm like learning so much every day and trying to be a sponge. And we also are all friends too. Like, we hang out on Twitter spaces and IRL and mm-hmm. at all these events. But it's very fast paced. Like, every single day, it's like the deadlines, as you know, in Web3 are ridiculous. So it's like, you know, we have asks for the clients that need to be done quickly, turnaround times, feedback, execution strategy, but it is fun at the same time. And then what was the second question that you asked? The company?
The second question was to start to talk about like, the brands that you guys are consulting with and kind of how's that look behind the scenes? What do they want? What are you guys trying to kind of telling them to do? What's the end game for them? Are they going to do like, cause I've always said like a company like Budweiser, they should be having like a program where if you hold the NFT, you get, you know, the early, like, you know, some beer once every 2 months and stuff that's not released yet. And like, that's like perks like that. And like you own the gold one, you get a tour of the facility. Like, I don't know, you know, what do you guys tell them and what's kind of coming?
Yeah, I mean, we have a strategy team that absolutely crushes it. And, you know, people that are really, really good on the client side. You know, I'm just mm-hmm. a copywriter. But from what I do know is that, look, these companies like Budweiser and Pepsi and whatnot, they've been around for a long time for a reason, because when they see the writing on the wall, it's like, this is where we have to go. So, you know, I think their goal, to our understanding, is to try and, you know, do something really cool and unique and plant their flag in Web3 and really mm-hmm. immerse themselves in this space. And, you know, it's really exciting to see them jump in and different, you know, the creative challenges that, you know, we have of executing in Web3 is fun. It's like, this is a new space. Like, we're doing things that haven't been done before. So that for brands to trust us with, you know, their name to execute it is a privilege and an honor for sure.
Okay. That was very politically correct. Appreciate that.
Yeah, it's a privilege and honor for sure. That was
it's a privilege and honor. You know, they're doing everything right. You know, that's good. That's good.
That was good. Good answer. Good answer.
You never know who's listening.
Maybe Gary's gonna be listening to this.
Uh-huh. You know? No, it's a great sure. answer. It's a great
gotta make
answer.
Sure he's not leaking alpha or anything. I know. You never know.
You never know. But yeah, it is awesome. I mean, you know, and they're just really excited to be here as well, you know, mm-hmm. and that's also apparent. Like, that's something we stress to them is the, you know, an authentic entry is important. Like, you either have to go in or just wait until you're ready.
1,000%.
Yeah. So absolutely.
Yeah. We've seen it 100 times where the brands will come in and you get this community sniffs out a cash grab pretty quickly. Actually, we fall for them horribly. I shouldn't say we sniff them, but we sniff them out after the fact.
Yeah. But I mean, yeah. I feel like, yeah. Sorry.
Oh, you can go ahead, because I was going to kind of relate to the next topic, because this is a good segue, which Michael's going to be like, oh, great, a burn. Anyway.
No, you're just right. Like, you know, the cash grabs are definitely still there. So, you know.
Yeah, we do fall for them. I mean, like, you know, when the companies come out, like the ones that are just like straight up like, hey, here's our first day. It's good that Budweiser's doing the beer.eth and playing the game and learning. And I'm sure you guys are going to do something really cool with them.
Yeah. And they've only, you know, I don't even remember when they entered Web3, you know, they have plans. You know, the good thing about these large companies is that they do have, you know, you would think a blank check down the road to do mm-hmm. cool things and lead by example with utility. Like, that's what we really want to see, you know, down the road from everybody. It's like, you know, what is the utility that is going to be offered?
And yeah, exactly.
That's still a learning experience. And, you know, large companies take time to do things and, you know,
So at this point, they basically pay like a retainer for like consulting, I guess, is the, because they're not making money on it. That's just kind of
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we're kind of, we are a Web3 consulting service, and, you know, mm-hmm. we help them. You know, they have their World Cup stuff going on, which is going to be big, which is exciting for them as well as a company. Yeah. You know, so that will be fun for V3 and Budweiser to experience that together.
Well, speaking of large companies with no utility and cash grabs, how about those Nickelodeon Rugrat NFTs? And speaking of which, the new CEO of Cool Cats was apparently behind that Recur. And a bunch of other like those things. Yeah. Recur. How do we feel about the new CEO?
You know what what Recur is basically is like, it's like a retail product, and they were like, mm-hmm. you buy, I don't know. It's like, it got really good for at first. Right. And that's why people are upset about it, 'cause it went up real hot, like, not real high, but I think they were like a quarter of an ETH for a while after they launched, and now they're down almost worthless, right? Is that what you're getting at?
The Nickelodeon ones?
Yeah, the Nickelodeon ones.
Yeah. I don't remember what they went up to, but
they're definitely... I have 12 of those Recur passes. I should have sold them when they were popular.
Are those Nickelodeon NFTs official? Like, those are official from them?
Yeah,
I believe it's Recur, so I think anything Recur does is official. Yeah, they also did like Hello official. Kitty. Yeah, they were official. But they were just like, you know, images, whatever. Like,
they're just collectibles. They're just
collectibles. That's what they are. It's a retail product, you know? And there's some, if people want them, like eventually, maybe in 10, 15 years, they will be worth something. Because maybe
that's what I like believe. And that's why it's not Heritage Can and all these big companies. Because look, like, one day they could just flick a switch and it's just like, yep, this is what we're doing. And then the floor price shoots up and it's like, you just never know.
Right. They're forever. That's for sure. NFTs are forever. People have taken over projects. We've seen that a lot. So like, anything theoretically can come back. Yeah, you're right. They could say, hey, since you have that old one, you're getting, you know.
Well, I think leadership also changes at companies all the time. And I think that they're going to be trying to bring in more Web3 focused people. And they're going to be like, hey, you guys have this legacy NFT project. The best way to reignite your passion is, hey, let's make this badass. Like, let's make some serious announcements that's going to, you know, make people want this NFT. And, you know, that seemed obvious to us, but, you know, not so much to other people. So,
yeah.
So you're saying now's a good time to buy.
Of course. I think so. Not financial advice.
Not financial advice.
So Jennifer, are you a little nervous about the new CEO?
No, I mean, I just have one Cool Cat, but I'm like, but I was kind of thinking like, oh my gosh, should I be like selling the news right now? Like, should I be selling my Cool Cat?
At three though?
Well, you got like it lower. Pretty,
yeah.
No, okay. But,
yeah.
I mean, no, let's not talk nice. About there's what... Yeah, it was at 11 ETH, but
it was at like 20. It was at like 17 or something.
It was not at 20. It was not at
like 17. Right,
it was never.
It was at like 17.
17? No. Alan, fact check.
I was up there. It was like 16 and a half, maybe.
No,
I
don't know. Yeah,
thank you, Alan. Yeah,
are you kidding me?
Cool Cats? No, it definitely was.
Yeah.
It was at least 15. Like, it was really high. It was really high.
I don't know if I remember that.
They were like a blue chip. People were like, oh, they're a blue chip NFT.
I know. But I don't remember them getting that high. Like,
bear market was, or the bull market was.
Cool. Jennifer, it got up to 16.4 on January 31st. And ETH was like 3,000. That's a $50,000 Cool Cat. That's worth like 5,000 now.
Oh my. That's so crazy.
That's what it is. Yeah, it is.
That's what I don't want to think about when I'm thinking about NFTs. I don't want to think about how I could have sold it for $50,000.
Yeah. I mean, Doodles, let's not talk about Doodles, which was like a 25 ETH floor at one point.
Yeah, yeah.
Let me look at what that high was. Doodles.
Oh, great.
Doodles flipped to mutants at one point. We totally talked about that on the show. Doodles was...
Yeah, I know Doodles was in their euphoria phase when I was thinking like maybe they were going to flip Bored Apes. Ooh. And I was like tweeting it out. And then Franklin was like,
roasting. Oh, yeah, you tweeted that. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
It got up to 24.9.
Okay. Yeah. Wow. Pretty solid.
Yeah.
When ETH was
pretty
at
what? Solid. Well, that was that was May 6th. That was actually relatively recent. How about that?
Mm-hmm.
That was May 6th. It got up that high.
Wow. Only what if difference a few months makes?
I know, man. It came down as low as the like lowest it got, looks like seven. This is the lowest it got in June 13th. So it took 6 weeks.
What's it at now?
It's
at, I never know the floor price of stuff.
Yeah, it's all good. It's at like anymore. Just under eight.
Just under eight. Just under okay. Yeah. Well, that's fine. Honestly.
Yeah,
it's fine. That's a solid.
You're not on flips.finance like 10 times a day like I am. I literally watch it constantly.
I leave that to you. I leave that up to you.
I'll be out. It's like one of my bookmarks on my phone. I'm like,
my God.
I know. It's weird.
You're obsessed.
I'm like a stats guy. I'm obsessed with the stats. I just like seeing what's happening.
Speaking of stats, apparently Jules is worth $700 million. I'm not sure.
Yeah, apparently. I know. Yeah. Good for them.
Good for them.
$50 million raise. Azuki says they're looking at a $30 million raise.
$1.4 billion valuation or something like that.
For Azuki? Oh, my
God. That's what people said. I was like, no way. Shoot.
That one I don't even get. Like, I don't want anything to – I don't want to be anywhere near that one.
I think because the you know, Far East market is just so
– For sure.
Bullish, you know.
It's so like, giant and untapped. It is.
So
did Zagabond hand over the smart contract or he's
no nah, Zagabond's still the guy.
Oh, still the guy. And nobody cares. Whoa. They're just like, yeah, whatever. Like
they do though.
Let the scammer like, have the money, it's fine.
It dang, another one that went up this week. We had OSF on. You probably know OSF Rec guy.
For sure.
Yeah, we had him on. So he tweeted that he is what did he say? He's gonna get a tattoo when the floor hits one ETH. And he's not going to cut his hair until 4.2 ETH on the floor of.
Oh my God!
Yeah,
no, he's not going
to. So cut it went up. It went up like a whole bunch. How much did it go up in the last week? Let me see here.
Pretty creative.
They want him to get the tattoo.
Yeah, yeah. And for some reason, MFers is up 50% in the last week.
Damn. Which,
yeah, I don't know. Someone heard Sartoshi's coming back or something. I have no idea.
Doubt it.
Yeah, Rec guy's up 25%. No, he's not coming back. He's probably somebody else that we know.
I know.
You know, they all are. Like Beanie's probably one of these guys, you know, like that are out there making projects.
Could be our chick.
Yeah. Docs, you know, once they find out who you are, it makes it difficult, you know.
Yeah. So. For sure.
Yeah, that's why it can never be us. We're all docs. Yeah,
I love it, honestly. I like being docs.
Yeah, I'm not trying to be anonymous. I'm not good enough to be anonymous. If somebody wants to, like, I'm not, like, good enough to hide it. You know, like, someone will be like, you're Michael Keane.
Yeah, because like, also Michael will be like, where do you live? Oh, yeah, I literally live, like, on the corner of this street. Like, during the podcast, I'm like, bro, like, why do you say, like, where you live exactly? Well, like, it always baffles me. I'm like, oh my God.
I gave a giant intersection near my house, but yeah. It's,
you're like, yeah, I live in this city.
And I always walk around in my NFT catcher t-shirt.
Yeah. Like, just come find me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, if Michael disappears, we know why, but.
Oh man.
Well, not, jeez. We won't manifest jeez. That. We won't.
Getting dark up on this one. That's okay. What else is happening? Tyler Hobbs, did you guys play around with his website at all?
Tyler Hobbs, no, did you? Yeah. Are you minting one of those?
No, probably not, because the Dutch auction is starting at 50 ETH.
We made it. Who did we make a bet with on that?
Oh, where it would go down to. Shoot, who was that?
Oh, it was a guy. It was a special guest.
Menace to NFTs. What's his name?
Oh, yeah.
Was that who it was? That, is that what's his name on Twitter? Is it
Is it
Menace to Society NFT?
Yeah, he's cool. I love him.
Yeah, he's really cool. We had a fun time chatting it up. It is really cool. I think that was him.
I forgot what we bet though.
Yeah, I know. We have to go back and re-listen. Jeez, I definitely should have.
Andy
probably has it written.
Andy knows all. He listens back because he has to edit.
No, we'll try and figure that out and see what. So. It seems like it's going to mint pretty high, but it was fun. You could go on the website, qql.art. I suggest anybody that does go to that website to go to his Twitter or his website to go to it. Don't just click what I just said, but I'm almost positive it's qql.art. And you can go there and play with his generator and put all the inputs in, and it spits out the different images. And they actually had a contest that ended today where like people were putting them on Twitter. And if they picked you, I think you end up being part of the collection. But the Dutch auction is going to be this Wednesday, starting at 50 ETH and coming down. And that entitles you to a mint pass. And then whoever actually mints the piece, and that mint pass is available forever, so you don't have to mint it. But the person that mints it gets 2% royalties forever.
Wow.
Yep.
Wait. Person who mints it gets 2% royalties.
Yeah. So if you get a mint pass and mint your piece from the collection, then mm-hmm. I can only imagine only like, you know, they don't like it happens like on OpenSea. If somebody, you know, goes pseudo swap and goes around the royalties, I'm sure you don't get it. But you know, when royalties come in, you get your piece.
Wow. That's so interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, that just, my brain automatically went to like all of those like compromised wallets or lost seed phrases where people don't have access to their.
I know there's going to be a problem with anymore. That. There's going to be a problem like, with that with artists for sure. That, and like, and how about when an artist dies and their family wants to get the money and the money's piling up. And like, there's also going to be, I thought about this too. Like it, like we fit, think like take somebody like X Copy, who's going to be getting royalties forever, you know, in 100 years after he passes his children. And like, they could actually like sell that wallet to somebody who wants to like, you know, so like that, like music, you know, like the Beatles, like Michael Jackson bought the Beatles music and that kind of stuff. Like people will buy those smart contracts and like, they'll be like some like billionaire collectors, like I own the X Copy smart contract, you know, and gets royalties every time that stuff sells. And there's a lot of weird stuff that, yeah, it's cool. And it's cool and it's not cool. You don't really want that to happen. You want it to go to his family. But, you know, what if they sell it for $25 million or something? You know, like, who knows?
Yeah. That's interesting.
Yeah.
That will happen for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Those smart contracts will be for sale just like they are now for the projects. Like, that's how projects switch hands. They sell the smart contract. They sell access to the smart contract.
Maybe they'll auction off the
smart contract. You know what else is, like, PFPs of famous people will also be more valuable as well.
Like, so this person owned that at one point.
Right, exactly.
Like me, like, you know, my doodle.
Yeah, every Jenny, this is a Jenny from the blockchain doodle. Yeah.
I mean, imagine
that doubles the price at least.
Obviously goes for a premium. I mean, it's not a floor. So
that, the more, every time I look at that, the more I look at it, it's like, that's literally like a portrait of you. Like for some reason, like I see you in that doodle.
Wow. 100%.
She has purple hair a lot too. So that's kind of, I don't think you do now though, right?
Well, one time I accidentally dyed it brown after dyeing it purple for so long. And then I just kind of messed it up. So I had to start dyeing it brown again. But okay. I wear purple a lot. Like I'm wearing purple. Uh-huh,
shirt. Uh-huh. She was known by the purple hair for a while. Now people just know her. Everybody knows Jenny. You go places with her at these NFT conferences. It's like, oh my God. People freak out in the streets.
Gotta love Web3.
Okay. I don't know about that, but
that's what I see. I need to wear my shirt for anybody to recognize me, but they do when I wear the shirt.
Yeah. They're like, Michael Keen.
Yeah. Yeah. Are you Michael Keen?
Yes. Like, and they always know your last name too, because it's always I feel like it just goes together, you know.
Yeah. It's a good last name. I have a good last name. I like it.
10 out of 10.
Yeah.
Great last name.
Everybody seems to call you Sutton. You ever see it written? Your name gets written a bunch of times.
Or Sutton? They say like Sutto. They always say like Sutto. Yeah. It's like it's pseudo, like Sue To.
Jennifer Sutto.
No, I just ignore it. Like, sometimes, I'll be like on someone else's like podcast or show and they'll say it wrong. I'm just like, whatever. Yeah. Just go with it.
No comment.
30 minute hard stop. Yeah.
It's automatic. Suddenly, I don't have much time for this anymore. Yeah.
Well, actually, I'm getting a call. It's an emergency. I like it. So let's move down the list a little bit more. So I put Sappy Seals on here and Alan let me know. He's like, you know, I have one. I'm not like the expert on the whole thing, but I was looking at it. They were like 0.6 a couple of weeks ago. Now they're 0.8. And it's one that there's a vibe around, you know, like that's undeniable. And it seems like one that, you know, could end up at multiple ETH. Who knows? Like there could be another crash. Like, I don't know, but like, it's one that I was looking at and then I was looking at it and it said, there's only 1600 owners. and 6,500 of them are in one wallet. And I figured that must be something to do with staking. I just found that a little weird. Oh. Thought you might know, but I don't think you do know. So if any of our listeners happen to know.
Yeah, I don't have the whole scoop on that.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah. You know, because I do only have my one seal. It's not like I'm a seal mm-hmm. whale. It's a seal whale.
That's an oxymoron, a seal whale.
Yeah, there's some seal whales out there for sure.
Seal whale.
But yeah, man, it's a lot.
Or is it a whale seal?
A whale, so you know, to each his own, you know, whatever. Okay.
Potato, potato, you know.
Yeah, you know, but
seal
I love
whale them. Or a whale seal.
The seals are fun, you know, it's a vibe, and you know, building for the future too. Like, again, like just building a really solid foundation and community. And now, like, whatever direction the brand wants to go in, they have a really loyal fan base. So, it's
fun. Nice. Now, it does have a good vibe around it. The community seems a lot of fun. I could definitely see that one doing well. It's a nice value under one ETH.
Look, I'll always be showing them love because, like, they definitely were really awesome to me very early on. Mm-hmm. And look, I love the memes, and they're heavily invested in memes. So, you know, I'm very bullish on memes as a template in general. So it'd be awesome.
Cool. And so Jennifer has a show coming up on.
Oh,
we have a new sponsor. We just recently started taking sponsors for the podcast. And we have a new one that's really cool. Yeah, and Jennifer has an event, a show. Do you want to talk about it?
Yes. So first of all, today's sponsor is Grail, grail.live, which I'm super pumped about Grail sponsoring today's episode because I'm going to be hosting a live stream auction for them. Basically, Grail is a platform that hosts weekly live streamed NFT auctions. So basically what they do is they auction off NFTs, and then the auction will be live for a whole week. And the last half hour, they'll do like a whole live stream show, and they'll have different people on. So they've done a show with AJ Vaynerchuk. AJ auctioned off some Vayner sports passes. And then Michaela, who we had on the show last week, she did a live stream auction with Alexander Taub, who's the co-founder of Goblin Town, and they auctioned off some goblins. And so, yeah, I'm super excited because I'm going to be hosting an auction with Betty from Dead Fellas, and we're going to auction off some Dead Fellas. So the live stream is going to be on grail.live. It's also going to be on their Twitter, and then I'll retweet it too. So it'll be on my Twitter if you guys want to see it. But on Tuesday, September 27th at 4 p.m. PST. So if you guys want to come watch, I'll make it a fun time. It's going to be half an hour. Yeah, it's just going to be a great time. And if you want to bid on some of the Dead Fellas NFTs, then you can. If you just want to come to watch and hang out, then you can do that too. But yeah, it'll be a blast. So
I'm definitely going to watch. I try and watch anytime you put out content because it is stellar.
Wow.
But I was actually looking at some of their old auctions, and like they auction off a bunch of cool stuff. You know, these auctions are probably going to become more popular, but like there was a Clone X that sold for 5.79, which is below.
You could get
floor.
Really good deals.
Keep an eye, and you know, there's could be some arbitrage room. If not, don't bid. But you know, like if there's a lot of they do a lot of cool projects, and they don't have to be connected with the project. Like somebody could, you know, like I assume like if I contacted them and like, hey, I'm going to auction off my Bored Ape, like that's something probably right.
You could do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely placed some bids.
Put a reserve on that. We're not gonna.
Yeah, you know, I mean, 100 ETH minimum for your Bored Ape, obviously. But
because I own it, just like your doodle, I probably double floor because of the provenance.
Exactly, you got that celebrity status.
Uh-huh. Exactly.
And maybe they'll, you know, they could be co-hosts. They can take over your job if they win.
Really? Excuse me.
Really? Oh, actually, yeah.
What? Are we looking for a
kidding.
New?
Honestly, no. First of all, Michael and Andy are literally, I was just thinking about this yesterday. They're the best people I could ask for like a podcast team, because let me just shout them out really quick. Michael, every week, always prepares topics. He always knows everything happening, even when I'm like, oh shit, I don't even know what happened this week. Like, Michael knows everything, which is so great, so clutch. And then Andy is like, he does so much. He runs our Twitter. He edits these. He's recording this right now. He edits them. He does the descriptions. Like, he just like does it all. And yeah, Andy just like deserves so much. We appreciate Andy. But yeah, and then I'm just here, you know, I'm just here. I guess I contact the guests.
You get our best guests. You get not our best guest. Alan's our best guest. Best guest ever. Excuse me.
Yeah, you got Alan. I got Alan. Yeah, that's actually rare. You never really get people on the show.
I know, because Jenna, because everybody responds to you. Like, well, just like, let's let you
message them. Michael's like, why don't you message them? Okay.
Get the board APFP, you know?
I know. It helps. It definitely helped. When I put my board 8 PFP on last May, I think I probably had 200 Twitter followers.
Damn. Nice.
So it definitely helps. 11,500.
Oh, shoot. Yeah, 5,000. Wait, no, because I remember. Yeah. No, but you finally.
I remember you said, let's try and get to 10K. I know. When we started, I was at 3 and you were at like 11. And now you're at like 37.
How do you remember all this? Like, I don't know how you remember these numbers, but. I guess you're just the numbers guy.
Yeah. I'm a stats guy, numbers guy. I always have been, for sure. I could tell you like batting averages from the 1993 Phillies.
Oh my God.
It's okay. Weird. Yeah.
Well, also, since we did start accepting sponsors literally this month, like we started, if you want to sponsor the show, you can email us at nftcatcherpod@gmail.com. Once again, nftcatcherpod@gmail.com. So there we go.
Andy's going to get a whole load of junk emails now. Yeah, I love your show. You can send that to Andy if you want. Or you can put a review on Apple. We stopped getting podcast reviews because we stopped asking for them.
Right. That's what we learned. Asking you shall receive. But if you don't ask, then you shall not receive. So, we tested it out. A theory. We didn't ask this whole month and nobody has written a review, which is totally fine. But if you've been enjoying this show and you've been enjoying the guests we bring on, and you know, you like listening to the show, please give it a review on Apple. Obviously 5-star. I mean, if you want to do 4, I guess that works too, but you know, please don't ruin the 5-star streak. Anyway. Write us your review. We always read them on the show. We always read them first thing, 'cause we get so excited. So they're always appreciated. All right. Back to the topics.
Back to the topics. I've been listening to the We Do a Little Pod. You guys know the one with Deez and Andy? They just started doing it. They're only like 3 episodes in. I enjoy it. It's good. They're both very smart. Andy, I find really, really smart. Like he's kind of laid back about it, but he's really smart dude. They've had a lot of good people on, but they were talking about the Nounlets. Like, they're into the nouns. They were talking about the Nounlets this week. Do you guys know about the Nounlets, what they're doing? So the Nounlets is, there's 100 of them. They're auctioning off one every 4 hours until they reach 100. And they're up to like number 12 or 13 right now. It's going to go. You can just go to nounlets.xyz or whatever, but go find the real. No, nounlets.wtf. But like I said, go find the real website from them. Any website I ever say, don't just type it in. Like, that's really important in this space. Go find your own websites. But that's really fun to watch. I've been watching it. They've been going off right around one ETH, a little less, a little more. Each one gives you 1/100th ownership in one of the nouns that's worth like 70 ETH. So they're going for a little bit more than what they probably should.
Fractional ownership?
Yeah, like fractional ownership.
From like fractional.art, which is Andy's site?
They changed the name of that to Sarah.
Oh, yeah.
Did you see that? Yeah.
What did they change it to?
To Sarah, T-E-S-S.
I really liked fractional.art, not going to lie.
T-E-S-S-E-R-A is what they changed it to.
Why did they change it to that?
They probably, because I think they want to do more than just
fractional. All right, fine. That makes sense.
Kind of like when you guys went from Vayner NFT to Vayner 3 pretty quick.
Yep, had to.
Yeah. NFT's getting like a bad rep. Like, NFT, right?
Well, it's such a small part of Web3, right?
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. That was a good move. So I've been watching that. And one thing I didn't know about the actual nouns is that they auction one a day off, you know, for how long?
How long?
Forever.
When did they start this?
They're into like 450. So it's like a year.
I think this was, my boss, Christian, the CEO of Evaluate, I think he was talking about this because he's like obsessed with like either the nouns or the little nouns or something like that. Okay. But like, I don't know. He was like trying to tell us about that. Like,
I heard of the little nouns, but I don't know about them. But then I've been watching the nouns and they go for like 70, 75 and one out of every 10, they don't auction. They just put in a multi-sig wallet for the founders. That's how the founders get paid. So the money from the auction every day goes into a treasury, a noun treasury, which now has 30,000 ETH in it.
Oh my God.
Wow.
Yep. Or about almost $40 million.
I remember the.
I don't know what they're going to do with it. I just kind of started learning. Like, I heard about the nouns a while ago and looked at them and knew they were cool, knew they were really expensive and knew it was exclusive. But when I listened to that last episode of We Do A Little, they talked a decent amount about it. So I kind of dug in and it's really interesting. I wish I had one.
Yeah, the nouns are like the NFT Illuminati, you know, like they're like,
wait, really?
You know, there's some powerful people that have nouns. You can't just, you know, the nouns are.
Who has nouns and who are the powerful people that have
them? You don't even know who they are. Like,
Society
the
stuff.
Rothschilds and stuff.
Right. No, but do you guys know that the one of the founders, or like, I guess, I don't know if there's multiple founders, there probably is, but one of the founders of Nouns, like he used to be a huge punks whale. And then he just like got upset about, I think like punks bleeding out and then like them not like responding to him for stuff and whatever. And he literally like fire sold a bunch and it was like a huge deal. Do you guys remember that?
Is that punk four something?
Oh, and he has a noun in his profile picture, but his username's still like punk something.
I remember that happened. Yep.
That was like a year ago, maybe.
Something like
I want to say. Yeah. Oh, was it punk 4156? Yes, I so remember that. When that whole thing was going out, it was like major drama. Like he was really fire selling just a bunch and they were like good trades and he was just like floor and everyone was like what the heck, but
helps people out, I guess, you know, if you could
some of those
give them back.
Have you ever wanted a punk, Alan?
I don't like repping expensive NFTs, you know.
Okay, you like to stay underrated.
Yeah,
so if the seals blow up, you're gonna change,
you're gonna sell it.
That'd be crazy. That'd be a difficult thing to, you know, because I don't know. It's because I do have some expensive ones, but I keep them, you know. So
which ones?
I got my mutant, and then I got somehow lucky. I minted a coda from the one land.
Good for you. Nice.
Got a couple of those hiding around for rain.
Nice. You have any GOO V friends?
I have a V2. I don't have a V1 yet. I'll get a V1. Absolutely. Yeah. And you need to have one for sure.
Yeah.
I don't even have one. I don't have any Gary V NFT.
I have a whole bunch of the V2. I have like 15 of the V2s and one of the V1s. I had two, but I sold one kind of early on. And that's what the first V1 that I sold, it was actually a Keen Kingfisher, believe it or not. That's why I bought it, because it was Keen, and sold that for like 5.2 ETH or something really early on. And it was able to turn that into my Bored Ape and Punk's Comics and all that stuff I minted like back in the heyday. So I always give Gary so much credit. I told him that on one of our FaceTimes, told him that little story.
Yeah. He really does have an impact on people.
Sure does.
The energy is unmatched. I don't know how the hell he did. He met like 5,000 people. Like the meet and greets at VCon were insane. I couldn't believe that. You know,
mad respect to people standing in that line. Cause like, I'm sorry. Yeah. I don't care if it's Rihanna. I am not standing in a long line.
I don't
people were standing in. I saw people in an hour long line to get like a t-shirt from the Deadfellas. There was a lot. There's people willing to wait.
I think Gary has had a profound impact on people's lives. So they're like, you have the opportunity to go talk to him for even a few seconds, see him. It's like, you know.
Yep, that's what it is for sure.
Yeah,
you know what was really funny though was when, did you guys go to like the party like before the event started, like the night before? It was like some outdoor thing. And Gary was like,
if you remember, I couldn't get into it because the line was so long.
Okay.
I'm not even joking. I couldn't get in.
So yeah, not trying to brag, but I just made it right on in because, you know,
VIP. We know, yeah, VIP entrance. We know.
So, but no, this was what was so funny to me because I was like, I don't know, I'm always obsessed with like human behavior and like I studied psychology in college, have a psych degree and everything. And I'm like, I always love just like observing people, right? So there was this super long line and I was like, what is this line for? I go up to the front and Gary is not there. And I was like, I like had asked someone, I was like, well, what are you guys waiting in line for? Someone at the front. And they were like, oh, Gary, he was signing a bunch of things here. And now he's over at this other station. But we think he's going to come back. I'm like, the event ends in like 30 minutes. Like, he's not coming back. And they were just kind of like, and then I was like, okay, let me not crush their dreams. So I was just like walking the whole line and literally I felt compelled. I was going up to people. I was like, hey, just so you know, like Gary's not going to be signing anything. Like you're not going to get to Gary, like get out of this line. Like I was trying to save them and they didn't believe me. They're like, and they like, they would like send someone to go up there and see. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, Gary's not signing anything. You're literally waiting in a deadline. And they were just like, you know, but people, if there's a line, people will stand in it. Like that's just so fascinating to me. People will literally just stand in line.
They've done studies of that, and they do it at like the mall and stuff. And people just get in lines. I know, like, they'll start lining up like sheep. It's really funny.
I've seen that. Yeah. So I felt so bad, but then it was also kind of like funny, but then it was also kind of like sad. But yeah, kind of random story. But
yeah, that first day was definitely interesting. That outdoor party. You know, definitely tough to get in. You know, I walked into the V3 cruise, so you know we were fine, but you know, I don't know.
Wild times. Michael hates that.
I was out there with VGF, who's got some clout, and he was like calling people and we couldn't get anywhere near it.
We just like hovered near the front, and then somebody recognized, like I was with like the chief of staff at the time, so they were like, oh, that's
okay.
I would not have been able to just been like, I'm coming in. You know, I was with more important people than myself. That's how I got in. Make no mistake.
Yeah. And speaking of shouting Gary out for meeting all those people, when we had our first FaceTime, him and I asked him if he wanted to come on the podcast, and he promised that he would give us 5 minutes from the floor of VCon and made it all happen. And he had us like go down to his suite and came in and did a nice interview. It was really nice. So he's definitely a man of his word. And
he will help people that like are on the path themselves. Like, and I think this is something that's important.
He really does. Yeah.
You know, like people are not miracle makers. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you guys have to be showing the, you know, ambition to go execute. And then it's way easier for somebody to help you versus just being like, you know, still and expecting somebody to give you a massive push, you know, to do something. So you guys are already crushing it. You know, I'm not even surprised that you guys, you know, crushed that interview as well. Like, I gotta check that out.
Episode 59. I had to go fact check.
Was that the VCon one, or is that the
VCon original one? Is episode 59. The one of your FaceTime is episode 34.
Cool.
Hell yeah.
The FaceTime was a little better. I did a little better. I kind of froze up, I think, a little bit in the VCon one. I didn't love it.
Yeah, and
I wanted to ask a better question.
It's okay. Maybe we shouldn't have confessed that we were like nervous and stuff. Yeah. Oh yeah, we'd only meant to ask all those questions.
We were like in the suite underneath the bleachers, like
there was like D-Rock was filming us. I was like low-key fangirling about D-Rock.
They shut the thing, made it all quiet. It was nice. It was really nice. It was just awesome him to set that all up.
Yeah. I would be nervous too. I completely understand.
Yeah. Do you get to talk to Gary, meet Gary?
Yeah, so what they do is if you've been there for a little while, you can schedule a one-on-one and you get like, you know, 10 minutes or so. So I've done that a couple times. Nice, you know, nice. And I try not to, you know, I just have
to do it once a week. I need another one-on-one.
Yeah, no, I honestly have talked to him like about So Rare, about memes, about about like a chief meme officer kind of thing at Vancouver. Yeah. You know, yeah.
Okay.
That's fun.
Speaking of chief meme officer, Jennifer, did you see what I tweet? You put eyeballs on it. What I said about the doodles.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Michael wants me to apply to work for the doodles.
Yeah, they're hiring for marketing manager.
Yeah, I mean, why would
that's her current job?
They should be bringing people from in the
community. Yeah, you'd be. I mean, you have an awesome job, but you'd be amazing at that.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you. First of all, I do have an awesome job. I do say, I will say, I do really love my job and everyone that I work with. But yeah, I don't know that. There's probably a lot of people applying for that, which probably. I did see. There's a lot of positions. I'm like, wow, they're really hiring.
And it's based in Miami. It says I didn't know they were based in Miami.
Wow. Miami. I definitely want to move to Miami so bad. Just really want to move to
it's
Miami.
It's nice down here. The Keys are the best.
Wow. Don't the Keys make me are
the
Come
best.
On.
The Keys are the best. Yep.
Which keys are the best? Well, I've only been to one. I've been to Key West.
Okay. I mean, Key West is awesome. Party town, great food, great to get out on the boats. I mean, we're an hour and a half door to door to Key Largo. So
there you go again, an hour and a half from. See, now people know they can backtrack. Okay, an hour and a half, Key Largo, and they figure out all the other places that you said and how far the distance is. You know,
all right, well, there's a couple of nice resorts down there, like really kid friendly. The restaurants are all like, there's not one restaurant in the Keys you can't go in flip flops and shorts, like, but all really good food. The Key Largo is nice, a real hidden, not a hidden gem, but Isla Mirada, which is like another 40 minutes down from Key Largo. Isla Mirada is really, really nice. It's like I-S-L-E-M-O-R-D-A. I don't know. Something like that. I don't even know how to spell it.
I'll just Google it later.
Isla Mirada. Yep. That's beautiful down there. I mean, it, the whole way down, it's really nice. Like lots of cool stuff to do. The Keys is just awesome. And then getting out on the boats, going snorkeling, fishing, whatever you want to do down there.
It's cool. Yeah, I love island vibe, like,
yeah,
and just, you know, everyone's tan and like everyone's just cool. Like, I don't know,
well,
it's just so cool.
It is Florida too. You gotta remember, it is Florida too.
I know. I love Florida.
And the Keys, they're all cool. Yeah,
Florida's like the best, in my opinion. Florida's like my favorite state.
I like Florida a lot.
Florida's, I mean, I live here. Florida has this reputation, though, sometimes for good reason. We'll say that.
I know, for like being crazy and stuff, like crazy people live there.
Yeah, a little bit.
But that's okay. That's not the worst reputation.
Yeah, okay.
All right. What other topics do we have?
Okay. So I saw Damien Hirst is displaying his 4,800 NFTs the real physicals in London right now in his gallery that are about to be burned. For the currency. Did you get into that currency at all? Alan, you familiar with that was Damien Hirst?
I'm definitely familiar with who Damien Hirst is, and I'm a fan of pieces, but
okay.
I did not get in. No.
Yep. So this was over a year ago, and he dropped, it was called the currency. They cost $2,000 each. There were 10,000 of them. What they basically were colored dots all over, and they were like little, and he made them, and they were like all different. They did rarities. And the price, I actually was lucky. You had to like apply, and I was lucky enough that Mark, who I worked with, got accepted for two of them, and he could only afford one. So he let me buy one, and it did really well. You know, I sold mine because I sell everything. It's just kind of, for the most part, how I do it. But so what the deal was, there's 10,000 of them. And in June of this year, you got to choose if you wanted to burn your NFT and they'll mail you the physical, or keep the NFT and they will burn the physical.
Damn.
Yep. So it was about half and half. He owns 1,000 of them. He kept all the NFTs. He's burning all of his 1,000 physical pieces.
All of them? He didn't keep one?
He didn't keep one. He's burning all 1,000.
Come on, so man.
They're going to do it. Yeah. And they're burning them in mid-October. They're going to be on display till then in London. So like our buddy Neo Sporin, who's one of the amazing, amazing community leaders in the NFT Catcher Discord. If anybody wants to check out the NFT Catcher Discord, fun place to be. There's a channel for the podcast. Jennifer shows up in there and we have a good time. We talk in the main chat. It's just like whatever people are buying. People helping each other out. There's nothing to, we don't charge anything. It's nice. It's a nice little community of people. So come join that. But what I was saying is, giving a shout out to Neo if he wants, he's going to probably listen. So if he wants to go see those pieces, they're on sale, they're on display for the next couple of weeks. And that would be really cool to go see that. It's like this huge, they're all glass. And the ones that they did send out to people are still there, but it's only like a black and white, like glass thing. So you do see all 10,000, but the ones that got sent out are just like a little piece of glass.
How small are these? Cause 10,000 of them are
I think it might be 12 by 12. Like they're surprisingly small. They're little, like almost like it might even be a sheet of paper. It's definitely, they're not big. So if I was probably going to keep my NFT if I did, but I got lucky. I sold it for like 11 a long time ago. Wow. They're at like 4.5 now.
So how much are the IRL pieces if you wanted to buy one?
If you want to, I don't think people have them in hand yet. So I don't know. It's a very good question. And then he's actually selling prints of this. He's selling prints for $1,000 each, 1,000 of them. Like not even the art, like prints. Quick $1 million, you know, just like
prints. Prints of what?
Like prints, detailed close up of what the currency piece looks like. So it's like not an actual currency piece. It's like a close up of it, if that makes sense. So it's probably like a close-up. And I'm not sure if all 1,000 prints are the same or not. They probably are.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So nice. make a quick meal, right? Pay for the gallery. Probably cost $1 million to house them for a month in the gallery, you know, and just like sell some prints. You
know, like, yeah, we'll just sell some prints. Let's do about 1,000.
Bring in a mill. Yeah, 1,000 each for a print. Not bad.
Are people going to pick? Because it's not an NFT. Like people don't throw around USD like that, you know?
I know. I don't think it probably is not the NFT people that are going to buy them. I think there are people that collect his prints. And that was the talk when this was coming out, like, because they were $2,000, which was about an ETH at the time. And people were like, are really, really going to pay that much? You know, and then I remember people in Clubhouse being like, well, his prints will sell for that much. Like, so people like this is that's what made me know it was worth it at that point. Like, I never, to be honest with you, I had never heard of him before this. Like, I didn't know much about art at all before getting into NFTs. In all
I
honesty.
Think that's most people, I feel like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I really didn't. And like now I love it and I'm friends with all these artists and stuff like that. But yeah. So that is happening. Damien Hirst still crushing it. That is a cool project. The Patriots bought Patriots.eth for 75 ETH.
I saw that.
Yeah. Do you know what they pay for beer.eth?
Oh man, I don't even know, honestly, because I don't know. I don't know if whoever had beer.eth knew that Budweiser was the one buying it, you know, because I don't really know how that worked. But if I were them, I wouldn't be like, hey,
Budweiser wants beer.eth.
I'd be like, hey, you know, it's like, I don't know. But I'm really sure, to be honest with you.
That's
but.
Funny. Yeah. Okay. We can probably, it's all in the block.
Okay. 30 ETH. I just
is what up. They paid. Oh, you looked it up. Oh, wow. It's cheap compared to the Patriots.
Pretty, it's a good deal, to be honest.
Yeah. I own NFTwitter.eth. Do you think I'm going to be rich?
Maybe.
NFTwitter. Oh, my God. One of my ENS names just sold. I also, which I had minted. Okay. I actually remember this. I don't even look it up. MetaverseGuys.eth. I minted. It's just something I randomly thought of. Metaverse guys on ETH. 4 months ago, I minted it, and it just sold for 0.12. So,
nice.
I mean, not bad.
Not bad.
I probably paid like 0.03 or something. So, that's pretty good.
I like that. And the only other thing I had on my list was that the Buenos Aires Marathon, the medals they gave out as NFTs. And they have a system set up where the person has the NFT and you can verify you have it and get certain perks. And like, I don't know exactly what the people are getting, but like it unlocks things. It says you're a winner and you can get into events or whatever it is. Like, so it's a really interesting use for the blockchain where forever you'll be able to verify that you meddled in this event and you can get the perks for it. I thought that was neat. It's also one of my favorite cities. I've been down there twice. Buenos Aires.
Yeah, absolutely. Argentina is awesome. You know, they got solid.
Argentina is amazing. Yeah.
Solid soccer.
You've been down there?
Well, my family's got some like heritage and stuff. My parents have, but I have not.
Oh, cool.
Been down there.
I went to a soccer match at River Plate.
Oh yeah, man, yep. That's probably an intense.
For not being a soccer fan, I've been to a bunch of soccer matches around the world. I went to a game for Nacional in Medellin, Colombia, and that was wild. They had like the cops that were there. It was actually a tiny bit unsettling. They were dressed for war. They were like RoboCops. They were like, it was like crazy. Shoot. And the people that were going into like the general section, they had them like going through this like corral. Like it was crazy. People hanging off the stadium. It was really fun though. They're yeah. Passion. I went to an amazing match in Quito, Ecuador, in Uruguay, went to a really fun one in Uruguay. And then a few in Europe and visited some of the stadiums.
I love that. Most people will never see those. So that's pretty awesome.
For sure. You know? Some of them are crazy. The one in Uruguay was one of my favorite ones. Got really good food there. The people just have so much fun at these.
Michael
things.
Is also a world traveler. Fun fact. He's been to so many like countries and everything. It's crazy.
Good for your perspective. So much respect. Yeah,
definitely is. It definitely is. I've been traveling. I got really lucky. My uncle Rocky, who's 50 years older than me, he's still alive. He's 93 years old right now. Just aged myself. Everyone can do a little math. So when I was 18, he took me to Venezuela. I turned 19 the day we went. And this was in Venezuela. It was thriving. It was amazing down there. We were in Caracas the day Hugo Chavez was elected, believe it or not. Totally random piece of world history that went really horrible for that country. But I spent 2 months in Venezuela between my freshman and sophomore year of college and never stopped traveling since then. And my Uncle Rocky was like, we're staying in youth hostels and we're not spending more than $3. So it got me to be like this like smart, frugal traveler. He's been all over the world. He traveled from the 50s and the 60s and the 70s, all over the world.
So like back when transportation took a little bit longer.
And there was no internet. So like he'd be like in India, like in some like country town, like trying to get the bus to the next town, you know, he's got all kinds of stories.
I've never heard about your uncle Ricky.
My uncle Rocky. Rocky. Sorry. Yeah, that's okay.
Uncle Ricky, like from Island. Yeah.
Now he's okay. My mom's uncle. He was my grandmother's younger brother. My grandmother lived to 93, died a couple years ago, but Uncle Rocky's 93 now. And we've traveled relatively recently. We went to Tikal in Guatemala just like 3 or 4 years ago. I went to Spain with a bunch of my cousins and my little boy Edward, and we took Uncle Rocky. And Uncle Rocky was like 90 and Edward was like 3. So he was 87 years older than Edward, and they were like painting together, and it was really, aww, really neat. Yeah. Uncle Rocky's the man. Andy knows Uncle Rocky pretty well.
I love that.
Yeah. It's good stuff.
Cool. Yeah. That's great that you had like a traveling mentor, you know, and then you picked it up.
I totally did. I wouldn't have known. Cause like I showed up in Venezuela. Like I was so naive. I had no idea. I had an American flag t-shirt on. I thought everyone was going to like love it. And it's like, they're just like trying to get my money. And I was like, okay, let's be a little more. Now when I travel, I'm like plain t-shirts, plain shoes. Like, yeah, I was so naive. And then it was a real learning experience. And it was awesome. Learned, you know, went all over the country, went into the mountains and into the Caribbean, and just never stopped since then.
That's great. Well, you know, this podcast doubles as a travel podcast as well. Yeah. So there we go. You know, a little taste of Michael's spinoff coming soon. No, I'm just kidding. Please don't leave us, Michael.
Nope. Not. I might travel, but when I travel, we still do the podcast. I was in Puerto Rico. We did it all over the U.S. I'm trying to think anywhere else international. Not really.
You're very dedicated to the pod, which I'll
still do the pod. I'll still do the pod. Yeah.
I think I've canceled it a couple times, and you, Andy, have like never canceled the pod ever.
Hey, you guys are at 100 episodes though. So like
Andy 91. Was... This is episode.
You're 91.
We're creeping in on that. Like that's crazy.
I know. We're trying to figure out something for the 100th too. We got to come up with. The only thing I've come up with so far is a roast But then when I think about it, like,
I don't want to do a roast. Like, let's just like roast each other.
So we got to think of something. We got to think of something else. We got to think of something. I know. Just, let Andy come on and roast the both of us. Like,
yeah, I think he's a
Andy probably like that. Yeah.
I don't know if Andy's capable of being mean, though. Like, Andy's like really nice.
I know he's not. Like, that's why. And I wouldn't, like, what would I say if I was trying to roast you? Like, I was
what are you trying to roast? Like, come on.
I know. Like, there's nothing to say. I mean, there's absolutely nothing to say. So it's like,
nothing bad to say about me. Only good things. How about we should a compliment fest?
Maybe we could let some of our listeners come on and like imitate us. I think that'd be kind of funny.
They say
we have like catchphrases. I say for sure a decent amount, apparently. Jennifer, you say, what do you say? Like an A.
Yeah, apparently. Yeah. Alan, apparently. What do you think is a good idea to do for our 100th episode?
I mean, you could definitely ask your audience as well. You know, I don't know, maybe mint like a special NFT and like, you know, I don't know. I don't really know. It's tough. Like, that's such an accomplishment that it's like.
We're actually right now, just so you all know, we're getting free Vayner 3 consulting at the moment. So continue, please.
Yeah, thinking of some strategy, you know, just like something unique, like what's like memorable and monumental that you'll always have. Like, NFTs are forever, so like, you know, like maybe a POAP on steroids that adds some value, utility. Like, oh, this will be like a guest on the podcast. If you have this NFT, you know, you'll be a guest on our podcast, something like that.
Wow,
that'd be kind of cool if we actually start giving guests a POAP or giving them something. Like, minting them something. That's actually that really
would
good
be
idea.
So that would be so thoughtful and nice. Unfortunately, we probably won't do it. Yeah. No, but
until maybe, we hire a team.
Need more help. Like, we also all have like full-time jobs. Like, Andy has a real, like, in real life full-time job. Like, I have, I guess, a Web3 full-time job, and Michael has his website and all that. But
there'll be times we're recording this. Yeah, we're recording this. Andy will be like in like the server room at Penn State. Like,
I love that.
Very dedicated. We're all dedicated. We all definitely. I mean, to get to 91 episodes and, you know, barely missing any is pretty awesome.
Content creation's fun, though. I mean, yeah, like, it's awesome once you guys have the groove figured out too. Like, getting started is like the most challenging part, and then once you guys have it figured out, it's just, you know, grinding it out.
And as you can tell, this is a highly entertaining podcast. And
it is, you know, you guys
are
like an agenda, like, you guys haven't figured out, you know, honestly. So, you know,
that's what's up. Well, I really appreciate having you on, man. This was a lot of fun chatting it up, and you bring a lot of good perspective and a lot of good experience in the space.
Thank you for coming on the show, definitely.
Go ahead.
Look, I appreciate you guys, honestly, you know, reaching out. Like, you know, I'm a big fan of what you guys are doing. You know, the team is awesome. 91 episodes is absolutely incredible, especially in such a you know, new space. Like, it's not like we've been around for a long time. So I'm excited to see what you guys do. And maybe, you know, I'll be on in the future when you guys are at like episode 1,000 or something like that. I'll be on like 200 or something. So it'll be awesome.
Yes.
Nice.
Yeah, we need to do some reunion episodes. That would be fun. Mm-hmm.
We could do reunion episodes and even like bring like multiple people on.
I know,
like, that's that we used to have, like that might even not know each other or whatever, and have like a kind of
like a reunion panel or something. Mm-hmm. That would be fun.
Just so much happens in Web3, right? Like, a year or two from now, like, what is it going to be like? You know, where are we going to be? It's like,
true.
Yeah. We'll be talking about the NFT. Oh, go ahead now. Finish. We're good. I was saying the NFT that, like, you buy it and you get on like a cruise ship to Mars or something.
The utility will be insane. Yeah. Imagine that. Uh-huh. Like, we're talking about the utility in 2022 versus like 2025. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Is there any closing thoughts? Any last minute things you want to say before you wrap this up?
Oh no, just shout out to you guys. I mean, absolutely crushing it. Content creators in Web3 are very important. Support them. Leave a review on this podcast. You know, absolutely. And you know, just much love to everybody who's here in Web3. Cliche, we're still early, but still have a long way to go. So
nice. That was great. Yeah. Okay, Michael, do you want to close us out with the top 10?
Yeah, I have it up here. So at the end of every episode, we go to Crypto Slam NFT collection rankings by sales volume over the last 7 days. I think you're going to like the number 3, Jennifer. Number 1 is Bored Apes. Number 2 is Mutants. Those are both doing really, really well.
What's higher number than three?
Normal. Number three is Gods Unchained on Immutable. Which really? You play. Do you still play? Really?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, I played freaking like five games like yesterday.
They did 5 million in sales. It's 100% increase over the previous 7 days. There were 7,200 buyers and 175,000 transactions, which is more than NFL all day and twice as much as So Rare in transactions. Wow,
good for them.
So Rare is number four.
There we go. So yeah. we're out here. Yeah.
So Rare is number four, 4.2 million. NFL all day is number five. They're doing really well since the NFL season started. ENS is number six. Azuki is number seven. That Project Heads by Matt Fury, which we actually haven't talked about. There's like 1,000 of them. They're these cool drawings. They blew up to like three some ETH and they're down, I think, to like 1.5. But that project got tons of volume this last week. CryptoPunks is 9 and Other Deeds is 10.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Well, thank you all so much for listening to this episode. Hopefully you enjoyed it. Thank you, Alan, for coming on the show. You guys can find his Twitter in the show notes. And with that, that's a wrap. Catch you all in the next episode. Peace.
Thank you for tuning in to the NFT Catcher podcast. We hope you enjoyed today's episode and learned something new about the exciting world of NFTs. If you enjoyed today's episode, please take a moment to subscribe to our podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. And if you really love what you're hearing, please leave us a rating and review on your favorite platform. If you want to stay up to date with the latest news and insights from the NFT space, be sure to follow us on all the socials at NFT Catcher Pod. You can follow Jennifer at Jennifer_Sudo and Michael at NFTicket. I'm your producer, Andy, and I'm at AJC254. Our theme song's by It's Just Los. We always appreciate your feedback and support, which helps us reach more people and bring you informative and engaging content about NFTs. We look forward to bringing you more great NFT content in future episodes. Thanks for listening. Peace.